Well, ladies, we are on to our final lesson, lesson 31 in the book of Galatians today. We're going to be in chapter 6, verses 6 through 18, and I've titled this lesson, Do Not Be Deceived. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 18. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Paul goes back to the main point of his letter here, reminding the Galatians where their trust needs to be, in God. The instructor and the instructed are tied on this, ladies. The instructor is responsible for what is taught, and those who learn are responsible for putting what they learn into action. Also, Paul is reminding them that he has told them the truth about Christ, and, as follows that, their support should not be so easily swayed to other people, but their support should be of the gospel. Paul reminds the Galatians that they cannot fool God. Seriously, how often do we still need that reminder? What we do in secret is not hidden from our Father, ladies. It never has been and it never will be. You can't trick him into thinking your motives were pure either. He knows your heart better than you do, after all. He made it. Do not be fooled yourselves. Whatever you plant is what you'll reap. Where are we investing our time, energy, focus, and thoughts? Do we have our joy in the Lord, or is our joy dependent on something or someone else? Are your thoughts more consumed with cleaning, crossing off your to-do list, your hobby, your family, your work, the computer, than they are with God? Ladies, we are supposed to do all things to His glory. As I cleaned my house this week, I honestly was thinking, who can we invite over now? The house is so clean, someone else should be blessed by it. As you work on your to-do list, is God even on it? Or are you working under the assumption, often false, that if you can get all your to-do list done, you can then spend time with God? Oh, ladies, be honest. That to-do list will never be completely done. Things are always added, and if you're putting time with God at the end of your list, you're never going to spend time with Him. What about your hobby? How are you using that to glorify Him? Are you finding ways to fellowship with others and encourage others who also enjoy that hobby? Over the years, I've seen how God even uses my workout time for His glory. I've had conversations at the pool that may cost me the last bit of my workout, but provide me the opportunity to ask hard questions and to encourage several people as they've lost loved ones or struggled with an illness. If I was just at the pool to get a workout in, I would have completely missed the connection that these people needed. I wouldn't have seen God showing me a door to bring Him to the forefront. We don't have to create service opportunities, ladies. We have them all around us. The question is, are we taking advantage of them? Are we listening when we feel His prodding us to serve in a specific area? Are we watching and asking for those open door opportunities? We are supposed to take care of the body first and foremost, but we are also supposed to do good and show His love to all image-bearers of God, whether they've accepted His Son's sacrifice or not. Okay, so moving on, verse 11 seems a little bit odd, right? Like it says, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." Well, Paul typically didn't hold the pen when he wrote to the different churches. He dictated, and someone, often Timothy, would write while Paul talked. Part of this was because Paul had some sort of illness, perhaps poor eyesight, that made writing very difficult for him. In many other letters, he will add a brief few lines at the end to ensure that he was the real author of the letter. Here, though, the indication from the verb used in the Greek tells us that Paul wrote the whole of the letter of Galatians, all six chapters as we designate them, by his own hand. Not only did he take the time to sit down and compose a letter to them, he took the time to sit down, take the pen in his own hand, and compose this letter to them. He tells the Galatians this, reminds them of it, as they probably knew it was his handwriting when they saw the letter, to show them how important this message was to him, to show them how much he cared for them, and that he had made this exception, and they knew it was an exception, to demonstrate the importance of what he was writing on these people who were leading others astray. The Judaizers were trying to compel the Galatian men to be circumcised, not because they wanted to help the Galatians become closer with Christ, but because the Judaizers didn't want to stand out. They didn't want to be the squeaky wheel. They had seen what happened to Jesus. They didn't want that same destiny. They wanted to blend, to look and sound as much like the Jews as possible, even to the point of resisting preaching in Christ's name and in preaching a resurrected Christ. This was all about appearances. It was all about looking right. It had nothing to do with becoming sanctified for him. And the Judaizers themselves didn't even keep the law, but insisted that the Galatians needed to keep the law and be circumcised. They were hypocrites, absolutely. This was all about the Judaizers wanting to blend in so they wouldn't be persecuted, while, at the same time, they wanted praise for how they convinced so many Gentiles to be circumcised to follow the law of Moses instead of following the gospel of Christ. All that we should be focused on is Christ. All that matters is being a true new creation in Christ, in allowing him to take hold of our lives, to turn our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, and to live lives that glorify him. Circumcision? No, that's not a mark of salvation. The Judaizers feared men more than they feared God. We need to have our perspectives shifted so we fear God more than man. And we do what he wants us to do, even if it means rocking the boat. The world will not thank us for that, by the way. We were promised persecution and suffering, but remember, anyone who suffers for his name's sake is truly blessed and will receive their reward. Peace and mercy, however, are the results of salvation. Peace is the state of the believer's relationship with God. While we are apart from Christ, we are his enemies, and we are not at peace with God. Mercy from God is also a result of our salvation, as he forgives us of all our sins and sets aside his judgment on us, allowing Christ's blood to cover our sins instead. And that peace and mercy is for all who are believers in Christ, whether physical or spiritual descendants of Abraham. Paul ends this letter without the encouragement that he so often gives in his letters. There are no people mentioned by name, encouraged to keep doing what they're doing, or praised for their efforts for the gospel. Nope. Paul ends this with a stern rebuke, basically, "Now this should be settled, so leave it alone. You have no claim against me. I've explained what it means to be justified. Now go and live it, and quit being distracted." So my questions for us all today, as we finish this book of Galatians, how well do you blend? How well do you hide? How well do you justify sins in others and in yourself so as not to rock the boat? Where is your focus? Where is your heart at? What are you truly serving? Are you paying lip service to the teachings of the Bible while adding things to it like the Judaizers? Are you focusing your mind on him daily to show you where he is at in all the things you do? He doesn't want to just be a part of your life, ladies. He wants you to live your entire life for him. We are called to be light. We are called to be salt. We aren't called to be neon strobe lights or laser beams that blind people, And we also aren't called to be acidic salt that burns the tongue. But we are called to be different than the world. And if we aren't, know that we're only deceiving ourselves, because God cannot be mocked. Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, day 31. Do not be deceived.